I said earlier, if you know, that we're glad you're here, and we are glad you're here. Oftentimes we see people come in and walk out and really don't acknowledge how blessed we are that you took time out of your Sunday to come worship with us. So we're thankful for that. And I realize it's All Saints Sunday, and we're gonna honor your loved ones, but still we're glad you're here. And if you don't have a church home, let me encourage you to make this it. I said earlier, we're pretty informal, and that's why I'm down here. Plus, that's bigger than I am. So, you know, give it some consideration. We'd love to have you. You also have some notes in your bulletin. And on the back side of your bulletin notes is a scripture today. My name's Larry Gallagher. In case I didn't get a chance to meet you, I really have the privilege of serving as a pastor here. And it's a good place. So we're gonna look at Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 31 today. Don't always get them printed out. We run out of room sometimes. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." So what he's saying there, really, it's no different than what they're doing to us or what they did to the prophets. It's no different than what they did in New Testament times. That people have been ridiculed and reviled and made fun of for being a Christian since dirt, since the beginning of time. Jesus goes on to say, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Then he goes on to talk about loving your enemies, even though they persecuted and reviled you and stepped on you and trampled you under their feet. He says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other cheek also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise." That's some, you know, the first words are pretty good. You know, we like those. And then we get down to the second one, you know, that second set of verses there. And, you know, and he talks about rejoicing and every, and then he gets down to the, you know, to the woes, woe to you. And then he gets down to no matter what somebody does to you, you got to love them. No matter where we begin a conversation about saints, angels, heavenly hosts, we all know that sainthood is not about glowing halos and flowing robes. It's really not. Now, we might have that picture, and somehow that we have that imagery in our mind that that's what a saint is, or you know, that's who, you know, what sainthood is someone wearing, you know, a long robe, but that's not what it is. Saints are people just like us who've kept the faith, They've kept the faith when it wasn't easy, when they were getting stepped on, when they were getting ridiculed, when they were getting defiled. They kept the faith when it wasn't expedient for them to do it, or when it wasn't safe. We talked last week about some of the disciples. It wasn't, you know, when you look at it, safe for some of the disciples to maintain their discipleship and become a saint. Some of them were beheaded over it. But oftentimes we find, you know, we find them and we find people in pews on Sunday morning. But oftentimes in times of persecution, we can't find a saint anywhere when we need one. And that's, you know, that's unfortunate. So the question is, that we have to ask ourselves is, are Christians sinners, saints, or are they both? The answer is simple. They're both, when you really get down to it. Christians are both saints and sinners. All human beings are sinners because we're born into sin. And that's something that we may not like to hear. And if you want to blame somebody, I guess you can blame Adam and Eve. But blame doesn't do us any good. The only thing that does us any good is dealing with it and moving on. We are sinners because we're born in sin. But not all humans are saints. According to the Bible, a saint is not someone who has done wonderful things, nor is it someone who's been deemed a saint by the church. And that might dispel some, you know, some thoughts. By a church or an organization. The word translated saint in the New Testament, which the Greek word, I know a few Greek words, this is an easy one, hagios, but it means literally sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially unclean. So a holy, you know, or a holy one, in the context of the New Testament passages, saints are people that belong to the body of Christ. So if you're a Christian, I got good news for you. You're a saint. And other than the choir, these aren't the glowing, flowing robes I'm talking about. Even yours, Bill. That's not what a saint is. A saint is a person that's had their heart purified. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Excuse me. The life of a saint is one of great blessing. And really, a saint, when you really stop and talk about it, a saint is nothing more, and the word saint is nothing more than another word for Christian. A Christian is what? A Christ follower. A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a saint is. Excuse me. A saint, when you really stop and look at it, is someone who, in spite of heartaches, in spite of issues that they've had, in spite of trials in their lives, who have by faith, no matter what is before them, live that Christian life. And we're going to honor some people today that have lived that life of sainthood and who have been a Christian. And I know a lot of people, you know, use the term saint and use it sometimes, you know, said, well, you know, he's a saint or she's a saint. And you're not really sure if it's the context of being a Christian that, you know, that we're talking about. But to be a saint is a situation when you leave this earth and you pass away that you have left a legacy for those people that are left behind. And you have left a legacy of being a Christian. And we have lost some. And in the few short months that I've been here, we've lost a couple. We lost Bill Prentice. We lost Jerry Mers. Those are saints that no matter what came first, God, their family. And that's what sainthood is all about. It's leading that life that leaves a legacy for people. It's a clear biblical truth that all are born into sin and all have a sin nature. There's just no other, you know, I mean, we can't find it any other way. You can look at the Bible, you can read it any way you want. But the bottom line is we are born into sin and we have that sin nature. Scripture says that God created humankind originally good and without sin. Says it had created man in his own image. In the image of God, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And he's talking about the Trinity there. And he says, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Now, I don't know what the time span is between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1, 26 and 27 to Genesis 3. If you read it, it's one chapter. But it didn't take long for man to realize he wanted to be equal with God. And so Genesis 3 records that fall of Adam and Eve. And with that fall, sin entered into two previously sinless creatures. Two people that, you know, that were sinless. I mean, when we look at a newborn child, we think that person, that child is sinless, but in essence, they've been born into that, you know, into sin. And that's passed along as much as we, you know, I mean, we see these little kids up here and we think, oh man, how could, how could someone, you know, that small or that innocent be guilty? You stop and think about Hank. You know, we think about our grandkids. And we wonder. But folks, that's the truth. And I wouldn't be honest with you if I told you anything any different. Luke's account of the blessings and heartaches of the Beatitudes sounds just exactly like the thing that a person needs to hear when they're seeking God and seeking His kingdom. When Luke talks about that and talks about those words in the Beatitude, it's interesting though when you note, you know, and you look at it, he immediately tells us that he's talking to the disciples when he does that. And these guys, all these 12 people had was their faith. They had very little else because what did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me. And who, you know, you remember the one that wanted to go back and bury his father? You might sound kind of ruthless, but Jesus said, you know, in essence, I don't have time for that. We need to be about my Father's business. And it's really what our mission is today. Saints, on the other hand, are not born saints, as much as we would like to think that might be the case. They're really not. The despair and the regrets that people have let us know that we have a lack in our lives. A person doesn't ever really know they're not truly fulfilled and they do not have the presence of Christ in their lives and do not understand that until they really come to that realization. What they've done for all those years has masked that. And we kind of talked back to Sunday school again. Great illustrations and stuff there. But we were talking today about why do people, we're getting into the conversation of do not see the need that we have, you know, that we saw. What's not drawing our children to the church that drew us? And the thought just passed through my mind with, you know, you think of all your friends and all the people we grew up with and how many of them are sitting in a church today. And that doesn't make us any more righteous. Unless, you know, I mean, that's not what I'm saying, but what's drawn us here is we're either a Christian or we have a search for Jesus. Now, I know there are people here today to honor people. I understand that. But there's also that drawing in our heart. For what is it that people have that makes them happy? And we were talking about, you know, the joys of being a Christian in class today. And the fun part of it. It's not all drudgery, and I think I've said this before and I sincerely mean it's the message that's been communicated. That's not what it's about. It's about having fun. And I don't suffer anything from being a Christian. And I don't think anybody else in here, I see too many smiles down here, I don't think anybody else does either. So, you know, if that's the thing that you look at and it's kind of a drudgery thought, put it out of your mind. So we're not born saints, they become saints by being reborn. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God is what it says in Romans 3:23. And we're all in need of spiritual rebirth. We're all in need of a touch of Jesus in our lives. And what that simply means is turning a sinner into a saint. And who does that? Jesus does that. We talked last week, the three things that a person really needs to do. Repent. I don't want to do this stuff I did before. Confess that, you know, and it's not everything that you've done. Well, you are, but you don't have to sit and list everything. You know, I mean, that would have been way too long a list. I went into a seminary class one day, and the instructor came in, and he pulled out his notes on toilet paper. And we started laughing. He says, you never know when you're going to get a good thought. So, you know, that list might have been longer than, you know, that roll of Charmin. I don't know. But that's not what he's asking us to do. If it's nothing more than I'm sorry for what I've done. That's all he's asking. And then I agree to be obedient to him and to do him. God's great in his mercy and his grace. He's provided the only means of turning a sinner into a saint. The Lord Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. And when we confess our sin and confess that need for a Savior, we go from that point of being a sinner to being a saint. And that's really what the point is. The blessings of God are a gift. And it's a gift that we don't pay anything for. I know, you know, we're getting close to Christmas. All the little kids are going to be thinking about, you know, what do I get? And what does it cost those kids? I mean, honestly, some of them don't even know what love is. But I'm sure that we will, you know, inundate our kids and our grandkids with stuff. Some of it they may need. Most of it they don't. But that's really what Jesus did when he came. It's a gift. And those gifts are marked by two things. Mercy and grace. That's his unconditional and unmerited love for us. God's love is freely given, but I'll tell you, it can be a costly thing. Because what you end up doing is following the demands and doing things that are against the nature of what this world is and against some of the things that it says. It says we do good to those that harm us. That's against the nature of society. It said we love our enemies. But I'll tell you, I found it's a lot easier to love than hate. Because, you know, if you hate someone, you got to think about that. If you love someone, you just accept them for who they are and you just move on. But to me, hate is the thing that we're constantly reminded of. But that's what God did, and that's in Jesus Christ. It's that gift of mercy and that gift of grace. Sometimes it's tough to forgive. If I spoke from personal experience, I could tell you there's a lot of times I didn't want to forgive people. But that didn't make it any better. And that doesn't let me off the hook. And it's taken time in a lot of cases to forgive people. I'll be honest with you. It's taken years in some cases. It's not that I didn't want to do it. It's just that I forgot about it. And then it comes to mind. If it comes back to mind, you know what? I haven't dealt with it. And so I got to go back and say, I'm not saying that person necessarily, because I'm not driving, you know, where they're at, but I'm going to say it in my mind and my heart. I'm sorry for what I did or for whatever I said. We talked a lot about forgiveness in the past. And oftentimes we find ourselves in need of forgiveness more than we find ourselves in need of forgiving. A lot of times we get in that situation. There's an old Chinese festival that I read about this week, and what they do is they honor the dead, and it's called Qingming. And it's a traditional time, more than 2,500 years old, to honor the memory of ancestors. It's also known, I found, that it's called the Pure Brightness Festival. And it focuses on the sun, spring, and the hope that is to come, not the dark things associated with death. The holiday is often marked by people paying respects to those who died in events considered sensitive. The April 5th movement and the Tiananmen incident were major events in Chinese history which occurred during that holiday season. Many also pay respects to victims of the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989 during that festival. So we can choose to see blessings or woes. It's up to us where we focus our energy and where we focus our thoughts. I would certainly recommend that we focus our energy on blessings rather than woes in people's lives. But in reading the passage, there's things we have to be cautious about when we read the Bible. We would be misunderstanding what Jesus was saying if we condoned things such as robbery or ignored injustice. That's not what he's doing. It might also be more Christ-like to give a word of admonition to a fraudulent beggar or to offer food and encouragement for those begging for money who are feeding an addiction. Verse 31 is the key. It says, just as you want men to do to you, we also need to do to them likewise. So offer to others what you want others to give, what you need most. And that's living the golden rule. That's doing to others as we would have others do unto us. That's the Christ-like choice. If a saint is someone who we witness Christian discipleship, what better expression of faith than to serve and to work for others in the name of Jesus? What's a better way to live our lives? There's no hierarchy of saints. One saint's not any higher than the other. All who belong to Christ by faith are saints. None of us are any more, don't throw anything at me, saintly than any other. Paul is no more of a saint than that person sitting next to you. What makes us a saint is that transformation that Jesus does in our lives from being a sinner to being a saint. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, we're sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hagios there, that Greek word we talked about earlier, is translated saints, holy and sanctified in different versions of the Bible, but it leads to the conclusion that whoever are called upon Christ through salvation are saints, and he makes us holy. Ephesians 2:19 says, we are all fellow Christians with the saints and members of the household of God. So if that person sitting next to you is a saint, and that person sitting next to that person sitting next to you is a saint, and we have all accepted Christ, then guess what? We're all in the same boat. We're all saints. And sometimes we make this thing too difficult. We're not saints because we've been declared to be saints. There's another shocker. I want to dispel that myth. We're not, churches, groups do not proclaim people to be saints. We are saints because we have been declared free and clean by God. Because we have turned our lives over to Him and we have said, I don't want to go down that path anymore. I want to go down your path. That's what it means to be a saint. We're going to honor our saints today, and I like this service. Before we do, let me share this with you. Blessed are those who have spiritual aches. Your pain will lead you to the source. Blessed is the person who has a longing for more. You see beyond the vision of those distracted by riches. Blessed are those who know they need God. You are closer to the truth than you think. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is in God's kingdom. Not in a place, but a condition of being something greater. To live in the kingdom of God is to live in the truth, no matter what happens. Nothing can separate us from the presence of God in life, in death, and in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. We need to be thankful to God.